Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, April 6, 2016. I am Jason Powell, and in the interest of full disclosure, I am actually recording this on Tuesday because I am getting out of town for a couple of days. Never fear, Jake Barnett and Will Pruitt will be here on Thursday and Friday to keep you guys busy with the pretentious Pro Wrestling Podcast. The guys were in Texas, as you probably know by now, for WrestleMania weekend, and so I'm sure they'll have some things to say about that and anything else interesting that comes up in the world of pro wrestling between now and then. I am here today to discuss the Ring of Honor television show. It is airing today on Comet TV, or tonight actually, and it's already aired in syndication over the weekend. So if you're waiting to watch it on Comet or just haven't seen the show yet, all right, you've been warned about potential spoilers. And my review of the show should be available either later. Yeah, it'll be available later today, I believe. But I thought this was one of the better shows. It was taped back February 27th in Las Vegas, Nevada, at Sam's Town Live, and it was it was the day after the 14th anniversary show, and it was the 14th anniversary show was frustrating in that ROH just put over a bunch of New Japan talent. It was very strange, and they got some of that back, and they restored a little bit of balance on this show. It's not that I want to see Ring of Honor better beat New Japan, but it's like, this is your television product, and there needs to be a little give and take here. You know, you don't want to just make it seem like you are inferior. That's the key. And this show helped in that regard. It doesn't erase what was done at the 14th anniversary show or even on some of the television coming out of it, but it was nice to see them do a little something. Kevin Kelly and Mr. Wrestling 3, Steve Corino on commentary. Love Steve Corino. This whole Mr. Wrestling 3 thing, they just, you know, they're stuck with it now, because basically the story was that he was fired for putting his hands on BJ Whitmer, I think, a couple of different times, and so he is able to return in this mask gimmick because matchmaker Nigel McGuinness doesn't like BJ Whitmer, essentially. I don't know why they don't just say, okay, suspension is up, or, you know, firing's up, something, come up with something, because it just looks silly that he's out there. There's no good reason for it. I don't think the average ROH fan cares. They're sick of the whole BJ Whitmer and Steve Corino feud anyway. So, you know, it was supposed to be taken care of with a match at Final Battle, but they couldn't have the match because of Corino's neck surgery. And so I guess now they're still hoping to have that match. But it opened up with the footage of Donovan Dijak taking out Truth Martini with the big boot. And then we went to a Jay Lethal promo. I think he said Truth was out with a broken neck from this. I guess they need a new reason to write him off in an injury angle for something. But he said it was Truth's idea to put Dijak in the House of Truth coming out of the Top Prospect tournament. Lethal said Dijak doesn't deserve a title shot or even to be in Ring of Honor. And he said that they were going to do things his way now. So Lethal fired up. Good promo from Lethal. Curious to see if they can get anything out of Donovan Dijak as far as it was weird. They had him turn on House of Truth, and it seemed like people were excited. And then he was with Prince Nana, who's just kind of the undercard manager, if you will. He's not even a manager. I just don't really know what he does. And so I felt like it was kind of defining Dijak down. But now when you have Lethal talking about him, they're clearly building to something between them. And so maybe they do have some plans for Dijak. And he's a pretty big dude. I think he definitely has a bright future. The opening match of this show was Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish defeating IWGP heavyweight champion Okada and Ghetto. The guy you would expect to lose lost, Ghetto, who usually accompanies Okada and does team with him, as he did here from time to time. But this was, it was a nice tag match. I liked the story that was told at one point. If you've been watching Ring of Honor television lately, Kyle O'Reilly's ear has got some massive cauliflower issues going on. He's got cauliflower ear. And Kevin Kelly was there to tell us, right? I mean, basically on cue. I don't know how well they laid this out, if it just kind of worked out this way, but he was telling viewers that he'd been having issues with it, and Adam Cole aggravated it. He hadn't been able to have it drained yet. I noticed it last week when they did a promo. It was up close. You know, if you're just watching a match, I don't know if you're going to see it. And I'm like, well, we're kind of strange they're pointing it out, but maybe it's just being conversational. But then seconds later, there was Ghetto to break up an armbar that O'Reilly had on Okada by just punching him in the ear while the referee was distracted. And it was like, oh, very cool. We did see one Okada dropkick, which is just a thing of beauty. If you're not a New Japan regular, it's certainly, I would say, even better than Randy Orton's known for a great dropkick, and Jim Brunzel was back in the day, and others. But Okada's really is. I mean, it's just it's elite. He ended up, well, O'Reilly ended up taking Okada to ringside. O'Reilly must have got the better of it because he returns. He and Fish hit some rapid fire moves on Ghetto, and then Okada returned to break up a pin, but he was dumped to ringside again, and then Fish and O'Reilly hit Chasing the Dragon on Ghetto for the win, and they went to a commercial break. You know, it just, I'm watching this feeling like, well, all right, at least the Ring of Honor guys got a win. No harm done from New Japan's perspective. Yeah, their champion was involved, but it wasn't like he was pinned. And it's just, you know, it's a guy that you would expect to lose, lost the match, and the regular tag team won. One of the best tag teams in the world, Red Dragon, got the win. But I wasn't overwhelmed by this. I got to say, you know, I've seen enough of Okada to know how good he is, and nothing, you know, I mean, the dropkick was nice, but it just kind of felt like a phoned-in performance by his standards. Nothing he did was bad. It just, you know, if you're new to Ring of Honor, or let's say maybe you watch Ring of Honor semi-regularly, you don't see much of Okada. You don't see the paper, but you see the television. You're not going to be wowed going, wow, this guy's one of the best in the world from this match. And not that, you know, you can do that. It's tougher in a tag match. I just wish that we would have seen glimpses of it. And other than the dropkick, nothing really stood out. So I just kind of felt like, kind of a wasted appearance of Okada here. But, you know, again, nice that Fish and O'Reilly got the win because they are a tremendous tag team. We got footage of the War Machine and Briscoe's confrontation where the Briscoes ended up taking the tag titles and looking at them, and then War Machine got upset about having their titles taken. The Briscoes cut a promo backstage about how it's been 3 years since they were ROH champs, and Mark said War Machine has never beaten them. Jay said they've been in the same ring 4 times and they've never beaten them. And he congratulated them on becoming tag team champions, but he also said they can't claim to be the best until they beat them. Really good promo here. I mean, the Briscoes are, Jay especially, is just a great promo guy. Mark can be kind of wacky and out there, but they always are entertaining on the mic. But when you really give them something to focus on like this, the situation with War Machine, they shine. There's a reason that ROH has looked to Jay Briscoe to be the ROH champion in the past. They're excellent. And this, you know, that angle they did where they're just kind of looking at the titles like, all right, Briscoes and War Machine, you know, it'll be fun once the bell rings, but okay, you know, just, it wasn't sitting around like circling the calendar for when that match would air, even though, again, it'll be good. But this one, just the promo kind of got me fired up about this. Like, all right, now we have a story. Cool, let's go. Second match of the evening was Kushida against Adam Cole. Kushida is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, and he lost this match. Imagine that. I mean, it really was a nice night for Ring of Honor in that regard, of getting some meaningful wins. And my guess here is that they plan to do something in Japan with Adam Cole, and that's why. But I don't know. I wasn't expecting it, given what we've seen on recent television. This was certainly a good match. I enjoyed this. I mean, Kushida's high spots. By the way, the crowd totally into the New Japan talent at the Las Vegas shows. They see them as stars. They treat them as such. And so it was really cool. Good atmosphere for this. And we saw a great flip from Kushida onto Cole at ringside. Crowd went crazy for that and chanted his name. And the finish of this, though, you had Kushida going for a handspring move coming off the ropes, but then Cole was there to give him a super kick. And then Cole followed it up with the neckbreaker onto his knee and got the clean pin. And it's good to see Cole get a television win. You know, we've seen him lose. We saw him lose at the 14th anniversary show. And then in the next show that aired, I don't remember if it just happened to air that same weekend as the anniversary show, or if it was the next weekend, he lost to Matt Sydal. It was just like, wow, what are they giving us, an Adam Cole losing streak or something? But there wasn't really a story for it. Then he just bounces right back and beats Kushida. So I guess it's just, we can forget about those previous losses. I wish there was a little bit better storytelling there. But this was nice. It was good to see Cole get the win here. And then we went to footage from the 14th anniversary show, which had the Motor City Machine Guns reforming. There was some mystery in ROH as to which side, you know, Shelley would Sabin side with them, or would he stick with Daniels and Kazarian, who he'd been hanging out with on television, just kind of as a sidekick to them? And at the anniversary show, he went back with his old tag partner from the Motor City Machine Guns to reform that outfit. This was a TNA versus, this is kind of, I mean, it's two teams that I identify with TNA. Daniel has had long history in Ring of Honor, no doubt about that. But when I think about Daniels and Kazarian, and I think about the Motor City Machine Guns, and I see them together, I can't help but think TNA, even though they've all had careers outside of TNA. I think Kazarian's probably had, that's the guy I think you would identify most with. Well, Sabin too, I guess. Shelley's done a lot in Japan, and Daniels has been all over. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't help but feel like, wow, it's a TNA throwback match. Kind of strange this was in the main event slot. I very mixed feelings on this, because there's the I think the pro is that, well, yeah, you had New Japan talent on this show, but these are our guys, and these are guys that are going to be here in the New Japan talent or not. Let's make them feel like a big deal. But I think the problem is it didn't really feel like a big deal. You know, it was set up at the pay-per-view. The crowd was receptive, and if I remember right, they did a good job at the pay-per-view of kind of setting up this match. But, you know, enough time had passed where it just, I'm struggling to think of what, you know, how that all played out, even other than just they reunited. So it should have felt bigger than it did. And I would say the negative is that, well, you know, you had a better match in Kushida and Adam Cole on the show for sure, and one that I think was more of a statement win for Adam Cole. And then even the opening match you had the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, and I would have gone. It's easy to say in retrospect, knowing how the match played out, but I would have gone with Kushida Cole as the main event of this show. But they didn't, and this was fine. You know, it just was hard to be excited about, even though there's been a little bit of history now with these teams. I feel like I've just seen them work together over the years, and so I don't know, I wasn't fired up about this. I don't feel like, I doubt that Shelley and Sabin are like ROH regulars, just because Sabin seems like he's in and out, and then Shelley does a lot in Japan, and then you have the Addiction, who've just really been disappointing since coming to Ring of Honor. I don't blame them. I blame what's been done with them creatively. There was buzz when I don't know if for those who remember that there was the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, and there was the clip at the end of Daniels. It was a big deal. It felt like, wow, Daniels is coming back, and and then Kazarian ends up joining him, and it's like, wow, the Addiction, this could be cool, because TNA did something with them. You know, they gave them, there were times when, I think Eric Bischoff was a big supporter of them. There were times when they would get television time, and then there were other times, and I could be off, but I'm pretty sure it was Bischoff who got behind this act. If I'm wrong, I apologize, but there were other times in TNA where they just kind of fell by the wayside. And so I was excited to see them. And when they did get time in TNA, they would do a lot of wacky things. You may remember like Throwback Thursday and the Apple Teenies and things like that. We haven't really seen anything fun like that from them in Ring of Honor. They still, you know, Daniel still does good mic work, but it just hasn't, we really haven't seen them spotlighted. They had a run with the tag titles. It was just completely forgettable. But anyhow, this match resulted. The result of this match was the Motor City Machine Guns getting the win. You had the Guns taking out Daniels with a super kick. Then Alex Shelley throwing Kazarian to the floor, and they had another double kick on Daniels. And then they performed a neck breakers top rope splash combo move onto Daniels, and that led to Sabin getting the pin. And then after the match, the Addiction attacked the Guns. And I'm like, okay, they want to keep this one going. Well, up come Matt Sydal and Kushida. They come out to make the save and fight off the Addiction. Then the Young Bucks run out and deliver super kicks to ACH and Sydal. And then the Guns recover, and they, like, tackle the Bucks and are punching them. And then you had all four teams kind of fighting it out. And Kelly's just putting over how competitive the tag team scene in Ring of Honor is. And he gave a quick plug to next week's main event, which I'll get to here in a second. And then also, they cut back to the ring where suddenly the Guns were celebrating with Sydal and Kushida. And I couldn't tell if it was a really rough cut. It looked like they were starting to clear the ring before they showed the graphic for next week's main event. But it just was like, well, it just felt kind of abrupt when they went back to it. So I could go either way on that one. But there are a lot of good tag teams in Ring of Honor. And they don't do a great job with them. You know, the All Night Express came back and just fell by the wayside quickly. And you can, well, you know, if, whether you can say you're not big on the All Night Express anyway, whatever. Well, you brought them in, do something. We have Roppongi Vice there, who, you know, Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero, and they're getting a tag title shot next week. They earned this by winning a gauntlet match. I don't know that we've heard them speak really at all. I mean, I know that may not be Romero's strong suit, but I mean, I know we have, but it's just there's no storytelling with them. I to this day, I don't know if, as an ROH viewer, if I'm supposed to like them. Do I boo them? Do I cheer them? Well, what am I supposed to feel for Roppongi Vice? They're challenging for the tag team championship next week, and so we'll see how the crowd reacts to them then. But it's just. The Young Bucks have been a huge disappointment since they signed. Not them. I shouldn't say that. The way ROH has used the Young Bucks has been a disappointment. They spent a lot of money to get the Young Bucks under supposedly exclusive deals. I mean, that still allow the Bucks to work pretty much anywhere they want. But ROH spent some money to get them on their television and things like that. And they just feel very random. We don't hear those guys talk. It's so it's yeah, you have a lot of good teams, but if you're not going to spotlight any of them, you're not going to build any of them up properly, what's the point? They all just start to feel random after a while. And that's kind of where I sit with the whole tag division, and this was an example of it. And I wonder, did they put the match on last that they did because they wanted this brawl to close the show? Was that how random it was? Or maybe it was, you know, again, it could have been, well, we want our guys to be in the main event of the show. I don't know. Next week's show is one that I am looking forward to, though. During the main event match, Kevin Kelly announced that War Machine would face Roppongi Vice for the ROH tag titles. Again, Roppongi Vice had previously earned the tag title shot. We're getting Kenny Omega, the cleaner, facing ACH. That could be a lot of fun. And the main event of the show is one that I think they really should have spent some time on this week's show, other than just this quick mention and a graphic at the end of the show. Dalton Castle against Silas Young in a fight without honor. This has been my favorite feud in Ring of Honor since it started, and it looks like this will be the end of the line for the program. The fight without honor, just basically no holds barred, no DQ, that sort of a thing. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I've heard good things. I don't even remember who won. I think I assume I know who went won, but I don't remember the spoiler necessarily. So, but I just I've heard good things about this match, and so I'm looking forward to seeing it. But with all the good footage they have, I mean, you've had Silas taking the boys, winning control of the boys, and Dalton getting them back. We may see some of it on next week's show, like a video package or something that sets it up. Cool. We may hear these guys talk on next week's show. Cool. It would be nice. But I'd also like to hear them talk about this a week out. You know, I want them to get a little bit of mic time, maybe an angle in the ring, do something. That's where Ring of Honor struggles with their television. They've come so far in production that the look of the show is just so much better than it used to be. It's something that, and they don't really boast about it. It's weird. You would think that would be something that they would have one of the faces of the company kind of tout to the crowd and kind of make the crowd feel like they had something to do with it. You're helping this company grow. They didn't do that, which is kind of odd. It just kind of happened. You know, but the stage looks really good with the video walls and things, and so I mean, there've been some real enhancements in that way. But when it comes to the storytelling, and the episodic nature of the week-to-week television, they still struggle. They put good matches together. I've said, you know, Hunter Johnston, a good matchmaker, and I think he's a good booker as far as like coming up with finishes and things like that. And most of what he does makes sense, but I don't feel like he shines when it comes to booking television. It just seems to be his weak point, and hopefully that can change. I mean, the show is better than it once was, but they still have a ways to go in that regard. That is my review of the weekly Ring of Honor television show. Hey, know that on the member side of things, we have weekly audio reviews of the Ring of Honor show. Darren Cutteridge and or Hayden Gleed usually taking care of the Ring of Honor television show. I cover the TNA Impact Wrestling audio show and the WWE Raw show. Zach Zimmerman takes the NXT, all the major pay-per-views and television show covered. Take advantage of that $2 special. This will be the last time you hear me talking about it. $2 for 1 month of .NET membership. Details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. And finally, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast, and please rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. It is appreciated, and you are helping spread the word about this podcast. That's it for me. Until next time, everybody, take care.